All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. Brother Appleby, is that you back there? Good to see you. We've been praying so hard for you, and looky here. Here you are. Well, praise the Lord for that. God bless you, my friend. It's good to see you. I looked back and I said, "That's Jim Appleby." And I looked over at Pastor Holbrook and I said, "Is that Jim Appleby back there?" And he goes, "Well, I think it is." So good to see you, brother. Yes, indeed. All right, are you there yet? I hear pages still being turned. All right, you having trouble with Daniel or one? All right, you got the one part right. All right, well, let's, Daniel, it's on page 1034. If you have the same Bible I do. All right, everybody got it? All right, now look at the very last verse, verse 21 of this first chapter. First chapter and verse 21. And here the Bible says, and Daniel, what's the next word? Continued. I like that word. That's a good word. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. All right, let's pray. And then I want to speak to you this morning on the faithfulness of Daniel. The faithfulness of Daniel. All right, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask now your richest blessings to be upon us as we open your eternal word. Thank you for the music this morning that has reminded us of our wonderful Savior and the care and the comfort and the power. Father, I pray now that as we think about Daniel some of the things that he had in his life, I pray that we will see the importance of having some of these same characteristics in ours as we strive and seek to live a life that will lift up the name of Jesus. So, Father, bless and help us. Thank you so much for all you've done for us in Christ's name. Amen. I have always been fascinated with Daniel, the book of Daniel, with his prophetic insights and all the things that God gave him. And this book in so many ways speaks to the authenticity of God's eternal word. But it is not the prophecies that I want to focus our attention on this morning. I want to focus on the person of Daniel. The person of Daniel. What an amazing person was Daniel, and there are some wonderful things that we can learn from his life by simply seeing the way he lived his life. The ancient rabbis wrote the things that they learned all along the way. These men were diligent to write down everything that crossed their minds. The volumes that they produced are just innumerable, and you have to read a lot in order to get a little, but there is some benefit in it. Now, I don't read after those rabbis because I don't have time to read all that information, but I rely on people who do read after them and then tell us what they said. And one of the things that I learned as I was preparing this message this week was how that the rabbis are the ones who told us that when the Babylonians attacked Jerusalem in 586 BC, all right, now think about that, 586 BC, 586 years before the time of Christ. All right, now how old's America? Huh? 249, and it will be 250 next year is what I understand. Yeah. And to celebrate, Trump's going to have UFC have a big fight on the lawn of the White House. All right. Okay. I'm not sure what beating the tar out of somebody has to do with celebrating 250 years, but that's what he said he's going to do. And normally when he says he's going to do something, he does it. Anyway, the rabbis told us that 2,500, almost 2,600 years ago now, that the Babylonians came against the city of Jerusalem, and they surrounded the city and then finally breached the walls of the city. And when they came in, they just literally took everything they could get their hands on. They murdered people right in their homes. They went in to ravage and take everything they could find, everything that wasn't nailed down and half of what was nailed down. And if there was any resistance, then folks were slaughtered right there on the spot. This would have been a devastating, terrifying time in the city of Jerusalem. And it was when this happened that the rabbis go on to say how that a little over 10,000 young people were taken from Jerusalem and from their families and from their parents and carried back to the city of Babylon, where they were put to service for the king. These were the finest of the finest, according to the writings of the rabbis. Now, Daniel was one of these young people who was taken. And the thing about Daniel that one notices as you read the book of Daniel, the story that, or the book that contains his story, the Spirit of God, who is the author, of course, of the Bible, holy men of old wrote as spoke as they were led by the Lord, and they wrote as they were inspired of God. And in this book, we notice that there is not one negative thing said about Daniel. Not one. Now, you don't find that except for one other time in the Bible. You say, well, who's the other one? The other one is Joseph. Now, we're talking about major Bible characters. And Daniel was a man with whom God wrote a whole book about him, and yet there's nothing negative in the story. Not one negative thing. Just like the life of Joseph. There's not one incident where God says anything negative about Joseph. Now, that can't be said of everybody else, can it? That can't be said of Abraham, for example. That can't be said of Isaac, for example. All right? You just cannot say that about hardly anybody else. Well, you can't. There's always something negative with the rest of the major Bible characters. Now, this is one reason why I know that the Bible is God's authoritative word, because when he tells us the story of the Bible characters, he tells us the good, but he also shares with us the bad. Now, if a man had written the Bible, there would be no negative. You know, all we would have done is tell the good things, right? Sure, if you came and said, Pastor, I want to do a biography of your life, first of all, I would think you're nuts, but secondly, I would not tell you anything negative. I would want you to write something glowing. Sure, but that's one reason why we know that the Bible was not a book that was written by man because men certainly would not include the bad things that happened and or that they did in their life. But there are two men, Daniel and Joseph, and neither one of these have anything negative in their story. Now, listen very carefully here. Daniel's life story is told to us, and while I am sure he probably had some moments in his long and declared history life, he probably had some moments where he might have staggered a little bit. You know, he might have tripped up here or there, but God doesn't tell us about it. He was a man. That's why I say he probably had some times where, you know, it wasn't all peachy keen for him. But yet, we're told in verse 21, and Daniel, what's the next word? Continued. All right? Sure, he had difficulties. Sure, he had problems. We all do. But God does not tell us about anything bad. I'm sure there were times where his faith might have wavered just a little bit, but the Lord does not tell us about those times. What the Spirit of God does show us is the long life of a man who was faithful at every step of the way. He was a faithful soul and served the Lord, was close to God all of his adult life. Now, you might be looking at verse 21 and thinking to yourself, Pastor, there's not much in that verse. So how are you going to get a full sermon out of that verse? Well, there's more there than you think there is. All right, so let's get into it. There's more than you might think. I want to focus on the word continued. Continued. All three of my main points this morning have to do with Daniel continuing in his life. And first, I want you to consider the survival of Daniel. Now you say the survival, yes, yes, Daniel's survival. Now don't forget, his story begins with him being captured and taken back to Babylon, 500 miles from home. Nod your heads. Let that sink in, okay? There was no Amtrak. There were no jet airplanes. There were the only means of transportation was camel. Camel. Now they had, I'm sure, wagons because they took everything they could get their hands on. They went in the temple and stole all the sacred vessels out of the temple and carted them all back to Babylon with them. 10,000 young people. That's amazing. So folks, I submit to you that Daniel's survival through everything that happened is absolutely amazing. The fact that Daniel survived through all the ordeal that he had to face is just amazing. Now, don't forget that he was taken into captivity when he was just a boy. A boy. From what I can read, Daniel was probably around 11 to 14 years of age when he was taken. Now, you think about that. The rabbis argue that he was taken from his home and his parents and his loved ones and was carted over 500 miles away from Jerusalem to a completely different city, to a completely different culture, and had to learn a completely new language. When you're 11, 12, 13 years of age. There are a lot of folks that think that when Daniel was taken, his parents were executed. Now, you just stop and think about it, folks. If you had a 12-year-old son or an 11-year-old son, and somebody comes bursting into your house, "Dad, are you not going to fight?" Man, I would. I would die trying to defend my family. And you would too. And so it is not unheard of that Daniel's parents were executed or could have been executed when the Babylonians came and captured him. So the chances of his survival, it would have been slim at best. I mean, think about it. Even when he got older and was thrust into government service, if you remember, it took a couple of divine miracles to salvage Daniel's life. If God had not intervened, he would have died at the hands of the Babylonians. You remember the whole lion's den thing, right? Hey, folks, those lions were hungry. And they didn't feed them so they could feed Daniel to them. And they throw him down in the pit. And then the next morning, lo and behold, Daniel's alive and well. You say, well, how'd that happen? God did it. God did it. So the very fact that he survived this whole ordeal, it's amazing, folks. It's absolutely amazing. Daniel then lived a long life in this strange and foreign land, being held as a servant of the king. And realize this, folks, Daniel survived without his family. There is no mention of his mom and dad coming to Babylon with him. The moms and the dads did not come. What happened to them? They probably were killed, in all probability. And so no doubt, in captivity, it would have been the survival of the fittest. And there is also no record of all that Daniel even ever saw his parents again. So that makes most folks think that they were indeed executed at the time of the initial siege of Jerusalem. So Daniel was probably in his 90s when he passed away. Probably in his 90s. You say, well, Pastor, what's the point you're making? The point I'm making is, if you look at our text verse, it says, and Daniel, what's that next word? He continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Well, how long was it from the captivity to King Cyrus? 70 years. 70 years. And he survived all that. Now, let me show you another thing. When Cyrus took the throne, here's what happened. Go, flip over to the 10th chapter for just a moment. To the 10th chapter, all right? Look at verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel. In what? In what year? The third year. A thing was revealed unto Daniel. Isn't that something? Daniel is still alive the third year of Cyrus's reign, and he's still kicking. He's still being used of God. He had a vision. The point is, folks, to live that long under his circumstances is absolutely amazing. But he did live through all of this transition that took place in his life. As a matter of fact, he not only lived through it, he thrived through it. Why? I'll tell you why. Because Daniel continued. He continued. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot to knock most people down. Come on. You know that's true, don't you? You don't know what she said to me. Nope, I don't. And please don't tell me. All right? Don't tell me. No, I'm not going to listen. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. But I'm telling you, a whole lot worse has happened. A whole lot worse has happened. And you're going to get upset over what somebody said about you? You're wasting your anger. That's what you're doing. What'd you tell me the other day? A lot of folks, how'd you phrase that? That you don't remember? You told me in my office, you held your hands like this.
Nursing a grudge.
Nursing, yeah. You can't get past that baby you got in your arms. Oh, yeah, what baby's that? You're nursing a grudge. Nursing a grudge. And what'd you say?
Ugly baby.
That's an ugly baby. Yes. That's awesome, man. I like that. Yeah. But every year of his life, he made the world a better place because he continued. Second thing I want you to see, I want you to notice, again, we focus on the word continued, and I want you to notice the service of Daniel. You see, he never stopped serving. He was captured and taken away to Babylon, but he served his God. I guess he made up his mind that, you know, I might be in a strange land, but hey, I'm still a child of God, and I'm going to live for my God. So Daniel lived over 70 years in Babylon and was always the faithful man. We all understand that he held very high positions in two of the greatest world powers that the earth has ever known. Babylon and Persia, and under several different kings. Daniel served under Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, by the way, Nebuchadnezzar got saved under Daniel's ministry. You and I are going to meet King Nebuchadnezzar when we get to heaven. That's pretty cool, isn't it? You say, well, I've read about that guy in history. Yes, you have. You've also read about him in the Bible, if you've read your Bible. Ouch. He's in heaven. Nebuchadnezzar came to God. And he's going to be in heaven. Then Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nabonidus, who was his son, he was Nebuchadnezzar's son, and Nabonidus did not want to be the king. He was an archaeologist. Seriously. He loved archaeology, and he just, because he had the means, he just went all over the Middle East, digging up stuff, uncovering cities. That was his thing. And he let his son, Belshazzar, reign. and run things. That didn't work out too good. That kid was a mess. And so God got angry with Belshazzar, and the next thing you know, here comes the Medes and the Persians. And King Cyrus. Hey, folks, listen. Cyrus is known in history as Cyrus the Great. Wow. What do you think of that? And what did he do? He takes Daniel after 70 years of being elevated in Babylon. He now takes Daniel and elevates him in his kingdom. Wow. You know, normally when a new king takes over the kingdom of an old king, the old king's killed, all his family's killed, all his staff are killed, everybody that knows his name is killed, you know. Not Daniel. You say, well, I wonder why that was. Because Daniel, you will notice, and Daniel, what's that third word? He continued. Oh, he had a testimony, didn't he? Don't mess with that guy. His God's the God of heaven. Don't mess with him. You'll pay the price if you mess with him. That's something, isn't it? That is absolutely an amazing thing about Daniel. And evidently he did such a remarkable job in Babylon that when he took over for Cyrus, that Daniel was kind of, well, you know, Belshazzar retired him. You remember that? Belshazzar said, you're done. You just go off somewhere. But when Cyrus came on board, he dug Daniel out of retirement and put him back to work as an advisor. I guess Daniel had quite a testimony, didn't he? And God gave Daniel the ability to interpret dreams and visions, and he was often called in by the king to interpret the dreams and the visions that the king had. You see, they would bring their prophets in, and their prophets didn't have a clue. And somebody said, you ought to get Daniel. You know, he's one of those Hebrew guys. You ought to bring him in. Well, why should I bring him in? Well, you know, we've kind of noticed about Daniel, he just stuck to it. You know, he hadn't bought into all this false God stuff and the king being a god and all that foolishness. He didn't bite into that. Now, his God is the God of Israel. His God is Jehovah God. You know, the one that split the Red Sea? That's his God. You know, the one that sent the fire down upon Sodom and Gomorrah? That's his God. Oh. Yeah, he's the God of the universe. And I'm sure that the king sat there and thought, well, I thought I was the God of the universe. No, you're not. You're nothing. And so they bring Daniel in, and what does Daniel do? But he reveals everything the king wanted to know about his dream. You see, Daniel was kept around and elevated to an even higher office in Persia than he had in Babylon. So ask yourself, why would that have ever taken place? Why would Daniel have been elevated, and why was he such a man of great integrity? Why? Why was he such a man whose word could be trusted, and even Cyrus the Great elevated him and put him in a high spot? Well, the answer to that is simply because he continued. You see, he didn't start well and then fizzle out. No, he stayed with it. Folks, can I tell you the thousands of people in the last 30 years who have sat in these seats, the thousands. And boy, you remember, you know, a lot of them started out great guns, didn't they? Oh, man, they were excited. They're coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They got in the Soul Winners Club. They joined the choir. They did all this stuff. Some of them even singing special music. And then one day you look up and they're gone. What happened? Well, they sure didn't continue, that's for sure. They sure didn't continue. Where is that kind of faithfulness today that Daniel had? All his life just serving the Lord. And folks, listen, Belshazzar was not much of a king. And you'll remember in Daniel 4, Belshazzar was partying. And he knew the Medes and the Persians were outside and ready to come in and destroy the kingdom. And so they're sitting in the king's palace drunk and just so filled with ignorance towards God, and the eventual doom of his legacy is what he is remembered by even today. When anybody who has any understanding of history mentions the name Belshazzar, all that comes to mind is God writing on the wall. What'd he write? Judgment. Judgment. Not just judgment, but judgment that evening. We think of Belshazzar, and what comes to mind? Him sending his people out to get the cups and the dishes and the bowls and everything that they stole from the temple, and bringing it into his palace, thinking, you know, if we're going out, we're going out high and strong. And so he takes all that stuff, and they start pouring liquor in it, and they sit around and drink themselves into oblivion. It's no wonder when Nebuchadnezzar came in, Cyrus came in the front door, it's no wonder they weren't able to fight. They were all drunk. But what do we think of when we think of Daniel? You ought to think, wow, Daniel continued. He continued. His service was the real deal. And thank God it was. Where are the Daniels today? There are a lot of folks in their 20s and 30s and 40s who need to emulate Daniel's faithfulness. Yeah. Then there's one more continued I want you to consider. Look thirdly at the sanctity of Daniel. The sanctity. One more continued. Daniel continued in his way of life. You see, when he moved to Babylon, he did not become a Babylonian. Hello? He didn't become a Babylonian, did he? No, he stayed right with God. Look at chapter 1. Look at chapter 1 and look at verse 5. It says that, or verse 4, it says that the children of Israel, in whom there was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding, science, such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So in other words, they took the best. They took the brightest. And then in verse 5 it says, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. So the king wanted to fatten them up. All right? He wanted to fatten them up, you know, with the grease, which they were under the law, you can't eat it. Under the law, there were things they could eat and could not eat. And then look at verse 8. But verse 8 says, but Daniel purposed in his heart. You know what that means? That means he made up his mind. I am not going to be a Babylonian. I am not going to be a Babylonian. Oh, wait a minute, Daniel. Your parents aren't there. Go ahead. Nope. God's watching. Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Daniel. Nobody's going to know. You're 500 miles away from Jerusalem. Just, you know, come on, man. No, I can't do it. I can't do it. Look at these spare ribs. Don't they look good? You see, Jews back in, well, still today, they don't eat pork. They won't eat pork. I keep telling them when I'm over, you don't know what you're missing. Bacon, you wait. We get to heaven, bacon is going to be on the tree of life. You watch. Yeah, Snickers bars, Reese cups, and bacon. You wait. It's in the Hebrew, all right? Yeah, it's in the Hebrew. Trust me. Now somebody's going to go out of here and say, that preacher said. All right, for the record, that was a joke. All right? No, he purposed in his heart. In other words, he just said, well, I'm not going to defile the law. You see, for Daniel, it wasn't a food thing. It was a spiritual thing. It was a Bible thing. And he finds himself now in the big city. So what is it going to hurt? I mean, even a little bit, if he indulges in some bacon and eggs and scrapple. You know? Throw in a few cathead biscuits and some good salted butter. What's it going to hurt? We go over to Israel, and on Friday when the Sabbath starts, you go down for dinner, and then Saturday morning, and everything is, the butter is unsalted. It's margarine is what it is. They give you margarine. Ugh. So the day before, I always grab several and put them in my pocket. And I'm real careful not to let any of the waiters or waitresses see me. I'll take my toast and put it down here and butter it, you know, and then and I don't, ooh. No. I go to a restaurant and I say, you got real butter? And they'll go, yeah. I said, real butter, not margarine, real butter. Well, we have butter. I said, well, you don't have real butter. Well, bring me what you got. And then sometimes they'll come back and they got these little packets and they're frozen, you know. It's real butter, but it's frozen. Why don't you guys dispense this stuff, you know? But Daniel made up his mind he was not going to defile himself. He said, no, I'm not going to become a Babylonian here. Just, I mean, I'm not from here, and I came from Israel. I came from Jerusalem. But wait a minute. It was a conscious choice that Daniel made. A choice. He decided. He made up his mind. 500 miles away. Nobody knows him. Mom and dad aren't there. No legal guardian. He didn't have a Carroll Christian Schools. He didn't have a synagogue. He didn't have a church. He didn't have a youth group or a youth pastor. He did not have any of that stuff. What would it matter? Go ahead, Daniel. But Daniel said, no. No. I will not defile myself by eating and becoming what the world has set before me. He purposed in his heart. Do you know what that tells me? That tells me that sin is a choice. Yeah. Someone says, hey, come on, everybody's doing it. That's a lie that came right out of the pits of hell. That's a lie. Don't believe it, young people. Oh, everybody's doing it. My mom used to say all the time, if everybody jumped off a bridge, would you do it? And I would, you know, ever the smart aleck, and I'd say, well, it depends on how deep the water is. And that's when you get the flash water across the back. Deservingly so. You see, being a government official, Daniel would have had wealth beyond anything he could have ever imagined. He would have had position, and with position, he would have had wealth, and with wealth, he would have gotten authority. Yeah. Yeah. But we read in our text, Daniel continued. You know, most folks, this brings, with most folks, this brings a license to just do what you want. 500 miles away, nobody knows you. This gives a license for you just to do what you want to do. But not Daniel. No, my text says, but Daniel continued. He stayed with it. How about us, folks? Where's Daniel today? Where's Daniel today? Where's Daniel in our congregation here? Let's all be a Daniel. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your wonderful word. And I pray that you will bless this to our hearts this morning. We are so grateful that this one little verse says, and Daniel continued. He just continued. From the time he left, from the time he left Jerusalem until the time when he passed from this world, Daniel continued. He didn't let anything knock him down and keep him down. Oh, I'm sure there were some times when he struggled. We all do. But when he was knocked down, he was not knocked out. And he got up and he righted the ship. And he just continued. And Father, help us to emulate that in our Christian walk, that nothing will get us out of your will. Nothing will get us out of your perfect fellowship. So, Father, bless your word. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed for just a moment, I wonder how many folks will say, Pastor, God's speaking to my heart this morning. And I want to be a Daniel. I want to continue. I don't want to be one of these up and down, in and out, hot and cold Christians. No, I want to continue like Daniel. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand all over this building and let's see that? Yes, God bless all of you. Wonderful. Wonderful. God bless you. Thank you. May put your hands down. That's wonderful. All right, now let me ask one more question. Is there anybody here today who will say, Pastor, I am not 100% sure that I'm saved and on my way to heaven, but I'm concerned about my soul. So, Pastor, pray for me. Would you lift your hand right now and let me pray and ask God to help you? Say, Pastor, I'm just not sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Pray for me. Anybody like that? You're not sure. Just lift your hand and hold it up so I can see it. I won't embarrass you, I promise. Nobody will know who you are, just you, me, and God, but I will pray for you, I promise you that. All right, Father, you know our needs now, and I pray that you will bless. You saw the hands that were raised, And Father, help us to put feet on our uplifted hand and just continue. Just stick with it. And Father, I pray that you'll bless all these hands that were raised, young and old and middle-aged, all ages. Father, thank you for that. And I pray that you'll bless all these folks. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen.